The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the Alumni Connection publication from the Governor Moorhead School alumni. This will be the issue 5, which is the spring edition of 2026. First off, President's Corner, Dr. Ricky Scott. As president of our association, I wish to express my hope that all is well with you and your family, and that you are keeping those New Year's resolutions. To begin 2026, we held our annual winter meeting on Saturday, February 7th of 2026. At this meeting, in addition to the meeting, we had an opportunity to meet the new superintendent, Dr. Kathy Seegers, who presented us with her vision and goals for staff, students, and administration, and her desire to connect with stakeholders such as our association. With all of us working together, we can certainly advance GMS. Following her introduction and presentation, all emergency preparedness was provided, which was quite timely in light of the winter that we have experienced this season. As we move into 2026, we will continue to provide informational seminars and presentations on topics that address issues impacting persons who are blind or visually impaired. Therefore, with your service on committees, we can achieve that objective. So, as I conclude, let me express my thanks and appreciation to you for your membership and service to our association. Here are the committee reports. Convention/Reunion Committee Report, February 15th, 2026. Salutations, GMS AA family and friends. We are pleased to announce some of the annual 2026 convention details. The event will be held August 14th through 16th of 2026. We will be staying at the Wyndham Garden, that's at 415 South Swing Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Room rates are $119 per night, double or king, and that does not include tax. Please call the hotel directly at 336-315-1550 and ask for the Governor Moorhead block. The hotel does not offer shuttle service, so you will need to arrange your own ride to and from the train or bus station. While the agenda remains in the planning phase, several activities are noteworthy. Meet and greet Friday evening, the general business meeting, and a visit to the Civil Rights Museum on Saturday, and a hospitality room. Contact Lonnie Cunningham at 336-275-1377 if you wish to visit the Civil Rights Museum. More detailed activities are forthcoming. Looking forward to seeing you in August. That's from the GMSAA Convention Committee. For annual members, your $60 registration fee is due by June 30th of 2026. There will be a $10 late fee if not paid by June 30th. Your annual $20 membership fee can be paid with your registration for a total of $80. Lifetime members will still pay $50 for registration. Non-members and guests, their fee is $90. You can pay one of two ways. Mail your registration form and payments to P.O. Box 61434, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27661. Or you can go online to gmsaai.org and use PayPal. Keep in mind that any activity suggestions are always welcome. My email address is lcham65@gmail.com. Or feel free to call or text me at 336-275-1377. Sincerely, your GMSAA Reunion Convention Committee, Lonnie Cunningham, Chairman. This is from Margaret Carter. Hello, GMS alumni and friends. I just wanted to send out a note to let you all know that the Resource and Development Committee would love for you all to participate in our annual fundraising activity. Because everyone did such a great job last year raising $6,160, it has been decided that we will be doing the Birthday Month's Battle again this year. If anyone is interested in being a captain for your month, please let me know. My home number is 919-856-0034. For those of you who didn't participate last year, please try harder to raise and or donate to your group. Now, we all need to get busy working so that we can beat August and July, who came in first and second place last year. We look forward to seeing you all in Greensboro this August. Thanks so much, Margaret Carter. Okay. Next is Archives and History. GMSAA members and friends, I wish to share that the State Archives of North Carolina completed the digitization of all the Governor Moorhead School records in their collection. So I am going to state the web page, so bear with me, it's a little long. So the link to the digital collection is https://digital.ncdcr.gov/collections/governor-moorhead-school. Not too bad. Many of you have expressed interest in learning the history of GMS. These documents show parts of that administrative history. After your review, please share your thoughts and future issues of this newsletter. Here's the Education Committee Report by Dr. Ricky Scott. As you know, one purpose of the Education Committee is to provide educational opportunities to our members and those in the larger community. We achieve this goal through the provision of informational and community resource presentations at both our annual winter and summer meetings, as well as separate seminar presentations during the year. To ensure that your interests in seminar presentations are considered, please contact me with suggestions at rickyscott09@gmail.com or at 919-673-8300. Here's the GMS Board of Trustees report by Dr. Alan Chase. Since Mr. Diggs' announcement of resignation in June of 2025, the Board of Trustees has worked toward finding the best person to lead GMS, and we have spent many hours over the last several months engaged in this process. It was our goal to have a new superintendent by January 1, 2026. Despite this short window to conduct the search, we had many qualified applicants. The initial search committee was composed of two board members, a school staff representative, a GMS Foundation representative, and a GMSAA representative. The initial search committee interviewed several candidates and narrowed it down to two finalists. The full Board of Trustees interviewed the two finalists. The board selected Dr. Kathy Seegers to serve as the next superintendent. Dr. Seegers has dedicated her career to working with students and adults with visual impairments. Currently, she is the Executive Director of Statewide Services and Supports at the Louisiana School for the Deaf and School for the Blind. She has also served as the Director of Outreach and Principal of the Tennessee School for the Blind. Prior to that, she worked for the Georgia Department of Education as a VI consultant. She has also worked in several other roles, including as a teacher for the visually impaired, an exceptional children's program coordinator, a music teacher, and a Braille transcriber. She holds her doctorate in educational leadership from Capella University and has completed coursework in orientation and mobility at North Carolina Central University. In December of 2025, school staff presented a proposal to the Board of Trustees. This proposal was developed by a committee of school staff who researched the history of Governor Moorhead School prior to its naming after Governor Moorhead, the Garner Road campus, and the Ash Avenue campus. The committee sought input from alumni and other stakeholders. In reflection of the school's history, the committee recommended the Board of Trustees vote to rename the GMS K-12 program. The board approved the request. The K-12 program will now be referred to as the North Carolina School for the Blind. Governor Moorhead School remains the name of the school as a whole. This was simply a renaming of a department within the school. Over the past several months, the Board of Trustees has approved the hiring of many new employees. This includes, but is not limited to, a new Director of Business, a new Director of Human Resources, a new Director of Outreach, a new Safety Officer, and a new Director of Maintenance. The Board of Trustees is considering adopting a year-round school calendar starting in the 2027-2028 school year. The board invites your comments. Please reach out to Board Chair Dr. Alan Chase at Alan, and that is spelled A-L-A-N, dot Chase, C-H-A-S-E, at gms dot K-12 dot N-C dot U-S, with questions or comments. The meetings of the Board of Trustees are open to the public. The meeting days and times, as well as agendas, are posted on the GMS website. The meetings are streamed live online. And that is all from Alan A. Chase, Ed D. J.D. My apologies. On to informational inspirational articles. This is called A Lifeline for Independence by Quamisha Gibbs. Continuing the traditions, why the Governor Moorhead School is a lifetime for independence. For many visually impaired and blind students in North Carolina, the choice between a local public school and the Governor Moorhead School is more than just a change of scenery. It is a choice between simply getting by and truly learning how to live. Having graduated from GMS in 2010 at the age of 19, I have seen firsthand that while public schools offer a standard education, GMS offers a community and a toolkit for life that few other institutions can replicate. The unique value of specialized experience one, this is hard for me to read the way it's capitalized, but I'm going to try again. The unique value of specialized experience. One of the most remarkable things about GMS is that every student's journey is different. Whether someone attends a two-week short-term program, a summer session, or spends their entire childhood from preschool to 12th grade on campus, the impact is profound. In my conversations with fellow alumni, I've realized that despite these different timelines, we share a common bond, a sense of belonging. At GMS, the family atmosphere isn't just a slogan. It's a reality where bullying is rare because we are all equals navigating the same unique challenges. However, the transition to GMS isn't always seamless. Many students, including myself, found themselves held back a year upon entry. While frustrating for students and parents who want to stay on track with their peers, this often stems from a gap in the resources provided by previous schools. GMS prioritizes ensuring a student has truly mastered the material, rather than just passing them through a system that may not have been fully accessible. Living the expanded core curriculum. While public schools focus on academics, GMS focuses on the expanded core curriculum, or ECC, the essential life skills that parents are often too protective to teach at home. The cottage life and the block house before We could live in the blockhouse, the campus apartments where we lived with roommates, and we learned to cook, vacuum, and even wash windows. We had to master the basics in the cottages. Learning to iron a shirt or wash a towel may seem small, but these are building blocks of dignity and independence. The power of mobility. I recall a time when off-campus passes allowed high schoolers who passed the mobility tests to travel into Raleigh independently by cab or bus. These experiences were a bridge to the real world, teaching us how to navigate society long before we were left to do it alone. Cultural exposure. For many students from low-income backgrounds, GMS provided firsts that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Seeing a Christmas Carol live, hearing a professional jazz band, or attending a professional baseball game. Bridging the gap to adulthood. The transition from GMS to the real world reveals a harsh reality. The world is not always as prepared for us as we are for it. Since 2010, I've experienced the frustration of businesses promising to call back and never doing so. This is why GMS must continue to evolve. We need workshops where different generations of alumni can talk to current students about the unspoken parts of adulthood, like how getting married can affect SSI benefits, or how to navigate the WIC or WIC and food stamp systems. Furthermore, we must protect the traditions that build character. Wrestling and cheerleading are cornerstones of GMS history. I have seen students with multiple disabilities thrive in these programs. You don't need to do a backflip to be a cheerleader. You need rhythm, memory, and heart. By sidelining these sports, we risk dismantling the dreams of students who deserve a full high school experience, including prom and date nights. A call for passionate advocacy. I may not have a PhD from Duke or UNC, but my life experience as a GMS graduate, a worker in military jacket plants, and a content creator gives me a unique perspective. We shouldn't only look to those with college degrees as the stars of our community. Every graduate who navigates life with a visual impairment has something to offer. To the parents who are afraid to let their children go, I understand. Being away for a week at a time is hard on a family, but the struggle of a visually impaired adult who lacks mobility and life skills is harder. We must work together to make GMS a place where parents feel secure and students feel empowered. Governor Moorhead School should be more than just a school. It should be a place of hope. It is where we learn that being blind doesn't mean being incapable. It just means doing things differently and doing them with pride. A parade like no other. This is from Robert Parrish. There are many well-known parades that take place in America. The Macy's Thanksgiving Parade is watched by millions as turkeys are being placed in the oven. The Tournament of Roses Parade takes place in Southern California during the height of the bowl season. There's little doubt that members of high school and college marching bands recalled their homecoming parade experiences. The Governor Moorhead School, the North Carolina State School for the Blind located in Raleigh, has never experienced a homecoming parade. But on a crisp November day, that came to an end. Along with students and staff from the school, several organizations of and for the blind were lined up by very capable marshals. This is inclusive of the Raleigh Outlaw Bowling League, the Triangle Federation of the Blind, the American Council of the Blind, and the Governor Moorhead Foundation. The homecoming parade was led by the most outstanding Shaw University marching band. As the parade marched on the planned route, which wound all around the school, loud, enthusiastic cheers emerged from each side. There was such an atmosphere of happiness and hope. No, there was not a football game to follow the parade, but there was a competitive goal ball tournament. This is a sport where two teams of three attempt to roll a ball, which has a bell inside, into an opposite point's net. To find out how this game is played, please consult United States Athletes of the Blind at usb.org. Besides the home team, which were dressed in Charger blue and gold, there were a boy and girl and boy teams from South Carolina and Virginia. Let me tell you, this matched the excitement of any high school or college football game. Like any homecoming, there was food. Food trucks from throughout the area provided a variety of delicious fare. Though not a tailgate, it may have well had been. In speaking with the music teacher of the Governor Moorhead School, a Ms. Deering, students have actually made the request to have to form a marching band. I have no doubt that they will. One day, we will see them play in their own homecoming parade, and perhaps one of those big holiday parades. This article is by Larry Johnson. Will you vote? Do you care about Social Security benefits, Medicare, SSI, SSDI, food stamps, the cost of prescription drugs, healthcare services, broken sidewalks or potholes in the street? Does it matter to you how much you pay for taxes or how safe you and your family are in your community from gun violence and crime? Do you vote? Or are you one of those people who think voting is a complete waste of time and keep on complaining about how the government is a total failure and that nothing you can say or do will matter? Then you are a victim of apathy. And you're right. Nothing will get done to make things better because you don't care. And if you don't care, why should the politicians? Their attitude reflects your attitude. If you don't give a damn, why should they? It's a lot easier to do nothing and then complain. Your inaction, your apathy, your failure to speak up and speak out gives politicians and elected officials the permission, the excuse, to do nothing. Last July, the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, turned 35. So you may ask, what has it done for me? Has it gotten me a job? Made the power company send me my bills in Braille? Forced the city's emergency management operation to create a system to notify and assist me in emergency disaster situations? Convince people to stop treating me like a helpless, pitiful burden on society? No, it hasn't done hardly any of that. So, why should I care about the ADA? Why should I bother to celebrate it? Whose fault is it? The government? The politicians? My parents? My neighbors? The courts? Well, none of the above. It's your fault, because you didn't care. Ask yourself, what have I done to help the ADA live up to its promise? Did I vote in the last election? Did I tell those candidates running for office what my concerns are? What programs I wanted them to protect? What policies I wanted them to change? How many phone calls have I made? Emails or letters have I sent? Meetings have I attended? Hours have I spent speaking up for my rights or those of other individuals who are blind or have low vision? How many elected officials have I approached to tell them about my personal concerns, about the injustices that I have experienced? We have a choice. We can focus on all that has not yet been accomplished by the ADA. We can lament the lack of affordable housing, the high cost of health care services, the continued high unemployment among persons who are blind or have low vision, and we can surrender ourselves to apathy, complacency, and inaction. And who would blame us? It's easy to give up, to listen to, and to believe the politicians when they say nothing can be done. It's easy to tire of the struggle, the never-ending daily struggle of trying to deal with the accumulated barriers and injustices experienced by people with disabilities. But still, we have a choice. It's a hard choice. It is the choice to have the desire, the courage, and the commitment to be willing to be advocates for change. Being advocates means believing that our efforts, that our vote, can make a difference. Things will get better for people who are blind or have low vision only when we are convinced that it is up to us to make them better. We can no longer afford to waste our time or energy in blaming society, public officials, or our families or friends for the state of affairs we're in. Nor does it serve any useful purpose to see ourselves as helpless victims of a cruel society. We are in charge of our destiny. We have in our hands the power for change. So, Here we are in the midst of a crucial season of primaries. What will we choose? The road of apathy, complacency, and dependence? Or the road of advocacy and self-determination? It's up to you, and it's up to me. In most primaries, less than 12% of registered voters cast their vote. I doubt that it was much higher in your county. So, will we let a small minority of voters decide our future? Our vote could make a difference. Your vote could make a difference. Will you vote? Here is something from ACB Conversation. Removal of age limit to Medicaid buy-in. FYI, for people over 64, who would have lost their buy-in coverage based on age and earnings upon turning 65. Consult your state regulations for earnings and savings limitations. Ensuring Access to Medicaid Buy-in Programs Act. This act, H.R. 1598, was folded into the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2026, which was signed into law on February 3rd of 2026. The act removes the age of 65 cap on Medicaid buy-in programs. This major change will allow those over the age of 64 to continue working without losing Medicaid coverage. Spring Cleaning Your Mobile Phone If You Are Visually Impaired by Derek Carolyn, written December 2nd of 2026, but I have a feeling it was December 2nd of 2025. Just like your home, your mobile phone can get cluttered over time. Apps, photos, messages, and settings may slow it down or make it harder to use. Spring cleaning your phone can improve performance, make it easier to navigate, and help you find what you need quickly. Here's how to do it safely and efficiently, even if you are visually impaired. 1. Review apps. Go through your apps and remove the ones you no longer use. Both iPhone and Android allow you to move or delete apps with VoiceOver or TalkBack. Keeping only the apps you need helps your phone run faster and makes it easier to find important apps. 2. Clear storage. Delete old photos, videos, or audio files you don't need. If you want to keep memories, consider transferring them to cloud storage or a computer. This frees up space and helps your phone operate smoothly. 3. Organize apps. Arrange your apps in a way that makes sense for you. Place frequently used apps at the top or on the first page. Both iOS and Android let you move apps using accessibility gestures, making it easier to navigate by touch or screen reader. 4. Check settings. Review your accessibility settings to make sure they are optimized. For example, adjust text size, contrast, or speech settings. Update security and privacy settings to keep your data safe. 5. Update your phone. Check for software updates. Updates often fix bugs, improve performance, and add new accessibility features. Both iPhones and Android devices allow you to use VoiceOver or TalkBack to check for updates. 6. Back up important data. Before making big changes, back up important contacts, messages, and files. You can use iCloud for iPhones or Google Drive for Android devices. This ensures nothing is lost during cleaning. 7. Remove unused accounts and notifications. Clear old email accounts, notifications, and calendar events you no longer need. This reduces distractions and makes your phone easier to use. Spring cleaning your phone regularly helps you stay organized, improves performance, and makes your mobile device more accessible. With these simple steps, your phone will feel fresh and ready for daily use. For further guidance and support with accessible technology, contact Vision Ireland at training@vi.ie. Spread the word. Join GMSAA. Becoming a member of the Alumni Association is easy. Go to www.gmsaai.org and click on Join GMSAAI to fill out the registration form. Print out the form and mail it to us with your $20 annual dues. It's that simple. Well, what is the purpose of GMSAA? 1, to promote goodwill among the blind and deaf communities. 2, to work with the Governor Moorhead School for the betterment of the student body. 3, to provide merit and charitable awards and scholarships to blind and deaf students who are pursuing vocational training or post-secondary education. And 4, to promote and encourage the education of blind and deaf children and adults throughout North Carolina. Who can join GMSAA? Any person who has attended the Governor Moorhead School, any campus of the North Carolina State School for the Blind and Deaf, any school that may be established by the state of North Carolina for the express purpose of educating blind or deaf children, or any person who is interested in helping the association. Coming soon to a newsstand near you, the next issue of the Alumni Connection will be distributed at the end of March of 2026. The deadline for submission of articles, committee reports, and announcements will be May 22nd of 2026. I have a feeling that in this sentence that says it'll be distributed by the end of March of 2026, I have a feeling they meant May of 2026. I might be wrong, but that's my gut feeling. So, your deadline to submit articles is going to be May 22nd of 2026. Let your voice be heard. Who's on the board of directors? Your president is Ricky Scott, vice president Robert Parrish, treasurer Tim Snyder, secretary Thelma Crumpler, assistant secretary Ginger Rush, and then there's Lonnie Cunningham, Margaret Carter, Tamika O'Kelly, Janie Garland, Carla Smith, Donnie Best, and Susan Patterson. The Board of Directors meets quarterly. For updated information on meeting agenda items, meeting dates or times, or other information, please contact Dr. Ricky Scott, President, at 919-673-8300, or by email, rickyscott09@gmail.com. Contribute to the Alumni Connection. The Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association does reserve the right to edit for grammar, content, and formatting any material submitted for publication in this newsletter. All submissions must include the name of the author. Submissions can be emailed to rickyscott09@gmail.com. Well, I've come to the end of the Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association Alumni Connections newsletter. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. This newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.